Informing America's farmers and ranchers. This is AOA, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And welcome into AOA, Agriculture of America. Thanks for joining us here today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Today's program brought to you by Cenex and Cenex Premium Diesel. Learn more, find your nearest Cenex location, or go online to cenex.com. We got a busy program lined up for you here today, but we want to start by recapping the USDA reports that came out on Thursday. Prospective plantings, quarterly grain stocks numbers. Joining us now for analysis, Ted Seifried with Zahner Ag Hedge. Ted, thanks for being with us here on AOA today. Let's start with the plantings numbers. Corn, 90 million acres below expectations, seem to be friendly to the corn bulls, Ted.
Yeah, you know, absolutely was, Jesse. I had been saying going into this report, we're going to need something to get excited about. Otherwise, at the moment, anyways, we don't have concerning weather for planting. And you had a corn chart that looked like it really wanted to roll over to the downside and at the very least go back and test those lows. But now, maybe we have that spark. And I say maybe because, yeah, corn acres came in about 1.7 million acres less than expectations, as you have up on the screen right now. Bean acres came in right on top of expectations. So that means in the row crops, there's 1.7 million acres that just kind of went poof, right? And then you look and say, well, where did that go when you look at cotton, sorghum, barley, oats, rice? Well, it didn't go there, right? The sorghum number came in almost 600,000 acres below expectations. The barley number came in about 500,000 below expectations. Oats were 200,000 below expectations. Cotton was below expectations. The only one that was on the money was beans, and I guess you could say rice. So there's a lot of acreage that may be sort of unaccounted for here, Jesse. I hesitate to think that those acres won't get planted. Now, I haven't had a chance yet to go back and reference the smaller crops versus USDA outlook numbers and the overall acreage that they had for the entirety of our planting for this year. But I have a feeling, again, there's, you know, 1.5 to 2 million acres that just, I'm not gonna say unaccounted for, but just that weren't included in expectations. And so there's a couple ways we can look at that, right? We can say that markets have a job to do to try to encourage or pull that acreage back into production. And at the very least, you know, what we saw right at 1101 is short covering from the funds on their corn position. Very early estimates in my book are about 30 to 35,000 contracts that happened in about an hour, right? So there's that. And will that continue? Will corn prices want to go higher to try to find that extra 1.5 to 2 million acres? You know, I don't know. I think that'd be great because it would give us, give producers great opportunities to get sold at some higher prices once again. For those of us that put on crop insurance hedges in front of the report, you get to kind of double dip on that. And that's really not a terrible thing either. But yeah, I'm encouraged. I'd like to see the market follow through. Now, the problem is that I think eventually we are going to see a higher corn acreage number or some of the smaller crops. Either way, there's more acreage out there, I think, to be had. And I think that acreage will come out of the woodwork one way or another, as long as we have good weather for planting, which at the moment looks like we do. So again, this might be a fairly short-lived thing as the market figures all of that out, but hopefully it lasts for more than just a day. Hopefully there's some follow-through into next week, maybe even for a couple of weeks. And again, I'm hoping to see some of these higher numbers, a bigger bounce than what we've had so far, to really get some opportunities to make some more sales.
The one number that stood out to me was spring wheat was a bit higher than the average estimate. It just makes me wonder, did some corn acres maybe float to spring wheat? But I'm with you. It feels like there's some acreage here that's unaccounted for, Ted. That was really the only note that I saw is where maybe some of those corn acres went to, Ted.
You know, and I've been talking to a lot of guys in the Dakotas or whatever, and coming into this report, they were saying the spring wheat acreage might not actually be there. So that was one of the bigger surprises for me on this report. At the same time, I've been hearing the guys in the Dakotas talking about how sunflowers might be down very dramatically. And so the original thought there was that, okay, that could very well be going to beans, but apparently the spring wheat acres were there, right? So yeah, I don't know. I that is a little bit of a wet blanket on the Minneapolis wheat contract, which is like the only thing that was down with any significance. I guess soybeans, you know, too. But overall, Jesse, the all wheat number came in pretty darn close to expectations. You know, just a little bit higher, about 160,000 acres, right? And so that's not terribly bullish for wheat as a whole. It's also not terribly bearish. And I think you saw some short covering happening in wheat, sort of in sympathy with the corn there. And by the way, the wheat chart of the bunch, I think, has the best maybe potential bottom setup for a bigger correction, maybe. But we've said that about wheat a few times before in the past and been proven wrong. So I'm not doing jumping jacks about it just yet. But I did like the price action that we saw in wheat really over the past week, but certainly there on report day as well.
Ted, grain stocks numbers real quick. I'll ask you about those. It felt like most of this pretty much was as expected. I know corn was lower than the average estimate. Beans was a little bit higher. I mean, your thoughts as you look at all the acreage and you look at grain stocks and plug things into balance sheets here. Anything else of note for you, Ted?
Yeah, Jesse, great question. I'm glad we talked about quarterly grain stocks. I think so many people are so very quick to dismiss it. And that corn number coming in below expectations, I've been kind of wondering about that as we were leading up to this report, mainly because, you go back and look at the cattle on feed reports that we've been seeing, and it seems like we've had a bit more animals out there than what have been expected, meaning, you know, that feed and residual category, which is the one we really can't get a handle on coming into a quarterly grain stocks number. You felt like that might be a little bit stronger and that the quarterly grain stocks number for corn might come in a little bit lower than expectations. And here we are, excuse me, but about 80 million bushels. And it's not enough to really change the outlook for corn, for the old crop situation. It's not enough to say that we're going to get below a 2 billion bushel carryover, Jesse. But what it is a slightly positive number combined with a positive acreage number. And those things together gave us some strength in corn. Now, then you look at soybeans and that number coming in above expectations. Well, the thing about soybeans is that we don't have that feed and residual category. I mean, there is a residual category, but it's not this big portion of the balance sheet like it is in corn. We really know or have a very good feel of where the soybean quarterly grain stocks number should come out because, well, exports and crush are pretty well known. Right. So for that number to come in above expectations, albeit not by a whole lot, that's a little bit disconcerting. It really kind of suggests that if anything, the soybean carryover number might be growing into the end of the market year rather than coming back down again. There are things that can change that, Jesse, but this quarterly grain stocks report is not reflective of that, suggesting that. So really, all in all, this was a pretty bearish report for beans, even though numbers came out pretty close to expectations. The expectations were bearish, and they reflect a bearish situation for soybeans going into the end of the marketing year, unless there's something big that happens. And whatever big that happens for soybeans would have to be reflected in some pretty massive export sales. We know crush is good, but sales can be better, and that would be the only way to really improve the balance sheet for soybeans. And again, not reflected in the quarterly grain stocks number and also not reflected in the weekly export sales that kind of get lost in the mix there. But we saw those on Thursday and they were not good for beans either.
All right. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge. Ted, thanks for joining us on AOA.
Thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me, man. Take care, buddy.
Up next, Jana Davidson with the Progressive Agriculture Foundation here on AOA. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss. Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Every day, our brave military men and women, along with their families, make tremendous sacrifices for our freedom. Patriotic Hearts, a nonprofit organization, is dedicated to supporting these heroes and their families in their times of need. By donating your unwanted card to Patriotic Hearts, you'll be supporting job transition and job fair programs, veteran entrepreneurship, counseling, and retreats for combat veterans and their spouses. Call 800-560-3870. You'll receive a tax deduction, and we'll arrange a free pickup at your convenience. Imagine the difference you can make in the lives of those who have given so much for our country. Your card donation will directly impact military families, veterans, providing them with the support they desperately need. Call 800-560-3870. You can become a part of something bigger. Join us in our mission to uplift and honor our military community. Call 800-560-3870 to donate your unwanted card.
Now. We tend not to think about now. We dream about tomorrow, relive yesterday. But sometimes we don't see what's right in front of us. Victory over cancer is in front of us. Right now, cancer research is saving lives. Cancer research, funded by the V Foundation, is leading to new discoveries and new treatments, and ultimately, one day, victory over cancer. Right now, one out of every two men and one out of every three women will get cancer in their lifetime. Now is your moment. You may save someone you love. The V Foundation has the skill, the speed, and the strength to achieve victory over cancer. Because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory. Learn more at V.org.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Premium grease is not created equal. Cenex premium greases are made with high-quality ingredients to provide durable protection. Learn more at Cenex.com. It's time for our monthly ag safety message. Joining us now, Jana Davidson with the Progressive Agriculture Foundation here on the program. Jana, it's always great to catch up with you. Thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
I am doing well, Jesse. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's talk about the March topic and newsletter focusing on slips, trips, and falls. And I know, you know, we get into spring, we get busy around the farm and things like that. And of course, you know, you start going a million miles an hour with spring planting and things like that. You got to make sure you're being cautious and watch it out for things that could cause you to have a slip, trip, or a fall around the farm, can't you, Jana?
Yes, yes. They say there's that famous saying, right, that a spill or a slip can lead to a hospital trip. And we definitely want to avoid that. And, you know, it hit home for me even just recently last week. You know, it looked like the sun was shining. It looked like it was a beautiful day. My girls were getting home from school and they're very busy this time of year, have a lot of like equipment they're hauling, going right from, they just finished basketball season to softball. Thought mom will come out and help them bring some stuff in. I hit the bottom stair and there was ice that I didn't see and I almost went down. So, you know, you just never know this time of year. It might look like things are clear, but there could be ice or mud or other slippery surfaces there waiting for you.
Yeah. And I think about that, you know, coupled with things like, okay, spring cleaning, maybe we're getting ladders out to do some work around the house, or, you know, maybe we're doing some cleaning in and around the house and some of that deep clean, you know, mopping and things like that. Some of the really, you know, busyness that comes with springtime. I know things like that could be an issue as well as the weather starts to warm up, or in some cases, I know some folks have been dealing with snow and ice here yet this week, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of different things that can, you need to really think about when we get into this time of year, don't you, Jana?
No, I completely agree. You know, I think we are all anxious, excited to get out there and get started on those spring projects, or even just like you said, the spring cleanup. And, you know, when we're thinking about that, you know, we're just so anxious to do it, but we need to always keep that safety at the forefront. So a couple statistics I always like to share is that, you know, according to the National Safety Council, slips, trips, falls, they rank as number three as the most preventable incidents out there. And they're right behind, I think, poisoning and motor vehicle accidents. So that just kind of puts things in perspective how common that they occur. And I think that they accounted for, this is 2021 data, accounted for close to 45,000 deaths here in the US. And these were things that happened at the home or the workplace. So when we're at home or we're on the farm, we don't have some of those devices. Like I think when we're at public places and they just freshly mop the floor, they can put those little signs out. We might not have those at home. So we always need to just be, you know, communicating with those around us about potential dangers, or also picking up potential dangers so it's not there for the next person. Because I think all of us get sometimes in that mindset that, oh, we'll clean that up later, or we'll get to that in a little while. And unfortunately that could be too late. Someone could be coming right behind you and it could have been prevented. So,
yeah.
So just things to think about. I always say, you know, as we're gearing up this time of year, I mean, you already hit on that with the weather conditions. I mean, from weather hazards to, you know, rushing to complete those tasks. Sometimes we're rushing against the weather. We want to get something done before, and that can lead to, you know, a slip or a fall, to just sometimes poor housekeeping. And that could even be, you know, around our house, whether we're, you know, having those staircases maybe too cluttered. Kids, I know, you know, growing up when the kids were younger, leaving some things on the stairs, not having, you know, sometimes handle or railings coming up and down, poor lighting. Those can really lead to some issues, bad traction on your shoes, and just, you know, those slippery surfaces that we've mentioned. You know, we just need to be aware.
Definitely. Well, another thought that came in my mind too is farmers get ready for spring planting. They're getting equipment ready, things like that. You know, in the machine shed, that's another area where, you know, hey, we got to watch what we're doing and maybe exercise a little bit of restraint from trying to go so fast, so furious. Just some good reminders there as we're getting things ready for spring planting season, Jana.
Yes, definitely. So that's a good area to think about, is around your equipment. You know, before you're ready to get on and get moving, you know, make sure you're looking around, checking for maybe there's grease spills around there that could be potential danger. Even when you're, you know, parking that equipment, make sure, you know, again, we talked about the adequate lighting, but also making sure that there's space between each and other. There's not, you know, somebody's going to be approaching equipment, they're going to trip over other equipment that's nearby. So just always having that safety mindset and that safety focus is going to not only help you, but help others around you that, you know, just, you might know it's there, but they might not know. So just always keeping those aisleways clear and keeping that in mind when you're, like I said, you're storing your equipment. That's really important. You mentioned the ladders too. And I think this is such a good time of year to talk about that, because actually March is also, I think, ladder safety month, or there's a month kind of dedicated to calling our attention to that. But you want to avoid, you know, when you're trying to reach for something, don't stand on a table or a chair, or especially a surface with wheels. So you want to get that ladder out, but you want to try to never lean or reach when you're using that ladder. You also want to ensure that the ladder is level with the ground. So that's also very, very important. And if possible, have someone there at the bottom, that extra security. Try not to be doing things either alone or when someone's not at home, because if you fall and, you know, you can't call for help, maybe your phone's out of reach, you know, that could really lead to a bad situation. And then one thing that's really important, and this is good for ladders, this is also good to remember when you're climbing in and out of equipment, or even going up and down the stairs, 3 points of contact. So always, you know, when, you know, if one of your legs, feet are lifted, your other foot should be firmly secure, and your two hands should be firmly secure. So that's really, really important, and can really prevent incidents. And that's whether you're ascending or descending from ladders or stairways. And then also, this is the perfect time. You know, we're talking about spring cleaning. Maybe it's time to get a new ladder. You know, maybe we got to quit putting the Band-Aid on that ladder. Oh, it's going to get us one more year, one more season. It might be time to just throw in the towel. It's just not worth messing with broken or faulty ladders or equipment, because, you know, in the long run, it's going to be more expensive. If you have that hospital bill, those medical bills coming in, maybe it's missed time off of work. If you're a child, missed time off of school, and then, you know, just those lost wages too. So if you're working, so that it can be more expensive in the long run than just investing in some new quality equipment and replacing.
Well, Jana, I know thinking about slips, trips, and falls, that's one of the many topics that you guys talk about with children at Progressive Agriculture Safety Days. Give us an update on the Safety Day program and some reminders as we are gearing up for the 2024 season.
Absolutely. So yes, 2024 season is now well underway. I think we had this past week, 11 safety days are now complete for the year. So it's really gearing up for the spring. This is going to be one of our busiest times in April and May. As the kids are getting closer to getting out for the year, we're going to see a lot more safety days happening all throughout North America. So we do have a goal. I was sharing with you earlier that we would love to hit 502 applications this year. 501 has been our magic number. That's been the most received in our program's 30-year history. So if we can surpass that this year, it'll be very exciting. We are like 93-94% of the way to that goal. So we're very close. So if someone is listening in today and thinking, man, I'd love to see more safety and health opportunities in our community for youth to really, you know, get that safety and health mindset from an early age. You know, we'd love to partner with you. It's very easy to get involved. You can visit our website. It's www.progressiveag.org. We have a get involved section, so you can click on that. You can put an interest form in to bring a safety day to your community, or maybe you just want to start volunteering and getting involved with the program. There's volunteer opportunities for you as well. So I encourage you to check that out and get involved with helping potentially save a life of a child or someone else in your community.
Well, again, learn more, progressiveag.org. And with that, Jana Davidson with the Progressive Agriculture Foundation, thanks for joining us this month, and we will talk to you again next month.
Thanks, Jesse.
Good stuff there, as always, with Jana Davidson from the Progressive Agriculture Foundation. Some good reminders to think about being safe around the farm and keeping our kids safe around the farm as well. All right, coming up next on AOA, brought to you by Cenex. Downtime's a waste. To keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex premium diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. We will talk with Lando Lakes' Matt Woolman on the way right after this.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Are you over the age of 60 and been diagnosed with lung cancer? If so, you and your family may qualify for a cash award. Our experienced attorneys are standing by to evaluate whether you have a lung cancer claim that qualifies you for a cash award. The consultation is absolutely free, and there is no risk and no money out of pocket. We only receive a fee when we secure you and your family a settlement. 250,000 people are diagnosed with lung cancer every year. You're not alone in this battle. We can help make sure that you and your family are financially safe and that medical expenses are covered. Again, if you've been diagnosed with lung cancer and are over age 60, call now. Don't delay. There are deadlines for filing claims. We're standing by 24/7. Call us at 1-844-903-1744. 1-844-903-1744. That's 1-844-903-1744. Attorney Advertising. William Stephacker Jr. is the attorney responsible for this ad. Main office, Granton, Pennsylvania. May not be available in all states.
You're listening to AOA. Here is a recap of Thursday's market action. Jesse Allen with you here. No markets, of course, on Friday for the Good Friday holiday as we are working through a three-day weekend. The market trade, of course, still digesting the USDA reports that came out on Thursday. prospective plantings numbers. USDA says farmers intend to plant 90 million acres of corn, down 5% from last year, and 86.5 million acres of soybeans, up 3% from last year. All wheat plants at area 47.5 million acres, down 4% from last year. Spring wheat area was up 1%, winter wheat down 1%, durum wheat up 22%, and all cotton area up 4% from last year. Quarterly grain stocks numbers, the corn number was down some 80 million bushels from pre-report estimates, with soybeans and wheat up 17 million bushels. Overall, the report viewed as bullish for the corn market and somewhat neutral for soybeans and the wheat trade. Corn did finish double digits higher on Thursday, with May corn up 15 and a quarter, 442. December corn closing up 15 and a half, 477 and three quarters. May soybeans were down one at 1191 and a half. November beans up two at three quarters, 1186 and a quarter. July Chicago wheat was up 13, 575 and three quarters. July Kansas City wheat was up five and three quarters, 579 and three quarters. And May spring wheat was down six at 645. Cattle futures, live cattle were up triple digits. April lives up 140, 185. Feeder cattle mixed, with March down 30 on Thursday at 247.75. And hogs mixed as well, April up 52 at 86.62. After the close Thursday, the quarterly hogs and pigs report came out and showed U.S. March 1st hog inventory up 1% from a year ago. Again, no markets on Friday for Good Friday. This is AOA for the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Agriculture of America. Thanks for sticking with us here on the program, brought to you by Cenex. Cenex can help you determine the right high-quality premium lubricants to keep equipment protected for the long haul. Trust your local experts at Cenex or visit cenex.com. for more information about their premium lubricants and premium greases. Joining us now here on the program, we want to talk about ag trade and just how we can help kind of bolster our rural economy and rural communities through trade. And obviously there's been some issues regarding the lack of new trade deals and the ag trade deficit that we are facing here in the U.S. So we're going to talk about it and get perspective right now from Matt Wolman. He's the VP of Government and Industry Affairs with Land O'Lakes. And Matt, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Hope you're doing well.
Well, thanks, Jesse. Great to be here.
Well, let's just start, as I kind of mentioned, looking at U.S. ag trade as it currently stands. We have a bit of an ag trade deficit. There are some concerns amongst the ag community about the lack of trade deals that we've had here in the last 10 years, so to speak. I guess, 1,000-foot view to start, what's your perspective on where things stand with ag trade right now, Matt?
Well, Jesse, you characterize it well. I mean, we do have an ag trade deficit. It's looking at about a $30 billion ag trade deficit for last year. And as we look to 2024, USDA projections are showing that ag trade deficit could grow as we move into this year. And, you know, we have had strong record exports on, you know, for U.S. ag commodities, but we're also facing, you know, significant imports coming into the country And so that factors out to this ag trade deficit. But, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, folks are really concerned about is as we look at the, you know, the global geopolitical landscape and the shifting trade lanes that are happening throughout the globe, particularly with China and, you know, taking export market access away and shifting some of that to Brazil and others in South America. You know, the overall environment is shifting out there. And so we really need to be focused on this trade situation. We need to be focused on, you know, expanding our export markets and our trading partners across the country, across the globe.
Well, I know as well here in November, I believe, Land O'Lakes CEO Beth Ford proposed a four-point ag trade policy agenda at the President's Export Council. It's been approved by PEC, I believe. It's on the President's desk. Matt, maybe you can speak to that policy agenda a little bit. And as you mentioned, you know, kind of the shifting lane, so to speak. I call it the reshuffling of the deck chair, so to speak, when it comes to ag trade. So maybe you can tie the two together here a little bit for us.
Yeah, absolutely. So Beth joined the President's Export Council. This is a group of about 25 companies, organizations. Land O'Lakes is the only ag voice on the President's Export Council. And, you know, just given the importance of exports to American agriculture, you know, Jesse, you know, 1 in 3 rows of corn, 1 in 4 rows of soybeans, 27% of U.S. pork, 18% of U.S. dairy is exported. And so it's really important to the ag economy that we have a strong U.S. Trade policy. And so that's really why Beth wanted to join this this President's Export Council. And you're right. She put together, you know, 4 points here that were reviewed by the President's Export Council and ultimately unanimously approved. And it really has to do around, you know, increasing and diversifying our U.S. ag supply chain. So, for example, we, you know, U.S. Sources vitamins and minerals from certain parts of the world, but it's almost exclusively with one country, right? And so we need to, you know, diversify that supply chain situation. Same with crop protection products and fertilizers and that sort of thing. The other piece is around, you know, establishing this robust trade agenda. So seeking out new trade agreements, new opportunities to expand U.S. agricultural markets across the globe. You know, certainly looking at several countries in Latin America, but also in the Asian Pacific region. India is another example where there's good opportunities for U.S. ag exports. And then, you know, obviously enforcing the existing agreements that we have on the books. And, you know, I just want to say the administration has been really strong on, you know, this issue around GMO corn with Mexico and the dairy issue with Canada. You know, just continuing to enforce those trade agreements is really, really important. And then, you know, on some of the international sustainability efforts, you know, just making sure that we don't have a patchwork of sustainability standards that, you know, certain regions or countries of the world will use as an opportunity to, you know, carve out U.S. ag exports or set up as artificial trade barriers, if you will. So those were the ideas that she put forward, and she got unanimous approval, and the ag organizations, 35 ag organizations, including U.S. Dairy Export, American Farm Bureau, and others, signed on in support of that.
Well, Matt, for you, from your perspective with Land O'Lakes, what is the number one and or number two kind of issues in front of you right now here in 2024 from a trade perspective, from a policy perspective? I mean, if you can talk about that a little bit, what do you view as the number one and two maybe issues, challenges that you're dealing with here in the early part of the year, Matt?
Well, you know, look, this trade issue and, you know, keeping the conversation going on, you know, how we can move forward expanding market access for producers is critically important. You know, Congress also needs to write a new farm bill. You know, the 2018 farm bill expired in September of last year. They did a one-year extension of the farm bill that'll take us through September of this year. We need a strong farm bill that provides certainty and a strong safety net for U.S. producers across the country. And, you know, there's some things in there that, you know, the ag groups and companies have been pushing for, including a robust farm bill safety net. And those are things that are part of the conversation that's happening right now. But getting a farm bill over the finish line is certainly a strong priority. You know, connected to this issue of trade is, you know, the overall global U.S. competition space. And you know, part of that is also having access to good tools and technology and so forth. And that really comes down to a strong investment in ag research. Right now, we're currently at 1970s levels of ag research investment, and just, you know, making sure that we're investing in those tools and technologies that help U.S. producers maintain that competitive edge across the markets, but also making sure that we're not setting up a competitive disadvantage. When you look at countries like, you know, China and Brazil outpacing U.S. investment by three times to one, we want to make sure that we keep farmers in a strong position. The other piece that, you know, I think you'll hear from, you know, those in agriculture and rural communities across the country is just the issue of ag labor and you know, the need to find a solution to getting our labor situation figured out. We're currently about 2.5 million workers short across the food and ag space. And so, you know, this is a really big issue as we get into some of these crunch parts of the season where we've got to move quickly and get crops planted and harvested and so forth. That's another really important issue. So, you know, lots of really good work going on here. We've got to make some progress. And I'm hopeful we can, you know, get some strong engagement from policymakers this year and next.
Well, trade, farm bill, ag labor, you named it all. A lot of issues to work on, but we'll continue to fight those challenges and work through them here throughout agriculture. Really appreciate the time. VP of Government and Industry Affairs with Land O'Lakes, Matt Woolman. Matt, thanks for joining us here on AOA today. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
And once again, good stuff there with Matt Woolman from Land O'Lakes. And make sure you reach out to your legislators as well and make your voice heard on some of the issues that concern you for your operation in terms of ag policy, farm bill, ag trade, et cetera, et cetera. Make sure reach out and have your voice heard. All right, coming up next here on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel. Downtime's a ways to keep your equipment running smoothly by using high-quality Cenex Premium Diesel fuel. Learn more at Cenex.com. We'll talk with one of our Cenex experts. Aaron Rogge joins us next on AOA.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down, A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Great vision doesn't require great sight. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Make your impact today. Donate now at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Joe Lardy, a research analyst from CHS, will provide a spring weather and planting outlook. Joe, the USDA Prospective Plantings Report will be released on March 28th. Do you expect any big shifts from expectations, and how will weather play into acreage decisions?
We always have to be prepared for a surprise. And I think going into this report, we can't be too comfortable, even if everybody kind of agrees on a particular number. I think weather is going to play a major role this year. Conditions are conducive to some very early planting. So it'll be interesting to see how aggressive producers get with that early planting opportunity this year.
Well, how might markets affect corn acreage this year?
Well, currently coming out of the USDA Ag Outlook Forum, they had predicted 91 million acres for corn. But I think we're going to see a higher number than that going into the March report here. I'm looking for something in the 92 and a half million acres. I think that we had enough fall application of fertilizer.
Well, turning to soybeans, what's driving planting decisions?
Number one is the weather. We've already seen reports of people planting soybeans already in March and certainly before the insurance dates. Another thing that we take a look at is the ratio between soybeans and corn. Currently, that ratio is 2.53. So soybeans are 2.53 times the price of corn. That's a historically very high number. The market is sending a signal to producers to potentially plant some more soybeans because given the ratio between the two of them, they're saying it pays a little bit better to plant soybeans.
Thank you for joining us Around the Table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com. Any information or opinions presented are for informational purposes only and do not constitute trading, legal, or other professional advice. CHS makes no warranties about any information or opinions provided and shall not be liable for the use thereof or any errors or omissions therein.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect that may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-926-1701. 800-926-1701. That's 800-926-1701.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America, brought to you by Cenex. Hard work, long hours, and extreme conditions, they aren't new. Cenex Premium Diesel meets the demands of today's toughest engines. Premium diesel to keep you going. Learn more at Cenex.com. Well, no matter what time of year it is, farmers are under more pressure than ever to meet demands. And with planting season upon us, conditions can change at any moment, posing a host of unknown factors that can increase risk for many farmers. And the good news is minimizing risk of downtime is easy and within your control. A few steps can go a long way towards ensuring your machines stay dependable this planting season. Joining us now on AOA to talk about some of those steps, Aaron Rogge, Senior Product Manager of Refined Fuels at CHS, is with us here today. Aaron, thanks for joining us. I hope you're doing well.
Oh, thanks so much. I always enjoy being a part of these.
Well, Aaron, let's dive in and talk about some tips and getting ready for a successful planting season to keep your equipment going in the field. What's the first step to a successful planting season in your perspective?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of things that farmers can do to ensure that they're set up for success this coming planting season. And really, one of the key steps at the top of that list is getting a used oil analysis and making sure that they take a sample of any fuel or lubricants that they may have in their equipment, in their tanks. A used oil analysis provides valuable information on how equipment is holding up inside. And samples can really deliver key information on the state of the fluids in your tanks before you're in the field. So healthy equipment at harvest doesn't guarantee that it's going to be healthy come spring. And that's something that is very important to remember. For example, an underlying issue could have been missed when the equipment was put away for the season prior, or storing equipment during the winter can lead to contaminant buildup in both lubricants and fuels. So conducting that used oil analysis is critical, but it's also really easy. To conduct a used oil analysis, all you need to do is collect a small sample of your used engine oil or fuel, and a lab tech will evaluate your results. To get started with your used oil analysis, you can purchase a LubeScan used oil analysis kit from your local Cenex lubricants dealer. And when it comes to testing your fuel supplier can help you get a sample pulled and submitted to get a lab report for your fuel as well.
Well, how can farmers add yet another layer of protection as they begin planting season? Could you talk about that, Aaron?
Yeah, well, sample analysis is simple and cost effective. And we kind of just discussed how that can help you protect your investment. But farmers can take it a step further. They truly can really level up with the Cenex Total Protection Plan. I know we've talked about it before, but it can't be repeated enough that the Cenex Total Protection Plan is a robust risk management tool with a wide array of benefits, including covering a wide variety of equipment, extending that original manufacturer's warranty. This plan is transferable and has no deductibles, and there's a limited operator burden of proof. So by following the plan's used oil analysis schedule, farmers really can catch small issues before they become major and a detriment to an operation. If those larger issues do occur, you know, plan members can know they're covered. So either way, this plan, you know, helps you manage your operation as well as cover you in case there should be a large repair that's needed.
Well, we're talking with Aaron Rogge, Senior Product Manager with CHS Refined Fuels here today. Aaron, how can investing in premium products like what CHS and Cenex offers, how could that make a difference on an operation? Talk about that a little bit.
We at Cenex believe that premium products is where a healthy operation starts, because premium products keep your equipment performing strong with high quality premium products, lubricants, refined fuels, the whole nine yards. And while, you know, bargain bin products can be tempting due to cost, price, so on and so forth, a premium diesel fuel or lubricant really can save you money in the long run. So when considering lubricants, the Cenex line of Maxtron products are formulated to keep machines protected as they work overtime during those peak seasons like planting and harvest. The full synthetic base oil and precisely blended additive package in Cenex Maxtron lubricants provides excellent wear protection, deposit control, and oxidation resistance. This helps prevent corrosion and buildup and contaminants in the critical moving parts of your engine. And then on the fuel side, for premium diesel fuel, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster offers a host of benefits that will provide the performance and protection your equipment needs to power through the planting season. It's packed full of benefits such as an advanced aggressive detergency package that effectively removes engine deposits, a two-phase total water management system that completely handles water to protect critical fuel system components. It's got maximum filterability that protects equipment from harmful contaminants and minimizes equipment damage and operational disruption. And all of this leads to a complete fuel burn that minimizes waste and improves overall engine efficiency, delivering more miles per gallon and boosting that engine's performance.
Well, Aaron, if folks want to learn more information, where can people go to learn more?
Well, the first step, Jesse, is always to talk to your local Cenex dealer to help you find the best premium lubricants and diesel fuel products for your operation. We also encourage folks to get out there and visit Cenex.com to learn more about these premium lubricants and premium diesel products from Cenex and to dig deeper into that Cenex Total Protection Plan.
Well, we appreciate the time and some tips as we get ready for spring planting season. Aaron Rogge, Senior Product Manager with CHS Refined Fuels. Aaron, always great to talk with you. Thanks for joining us here on AOA. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Once again, Aaron Rogge there with Cenex. Appreciate her joining us here on the program today. Brought to you by Cenex. When the temperature goes down, so can your equipment. Cenex Premium Diesel Fuel is built with a balanced additive package to keep equipment moving. Learn more online at Cenex.com. Coming up on the next AOA, we'll talk with Andy Campbell from Tractor Zoom. We'll also look at weather with DTN's John Baranek, markets with Dara Newsom from Bar Chart. Have a fantastic rest of your day. Wishing you and yours a happy Easter as well. Thanks for joining us here on AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.
When it comes to cereal disease protection, Prosaro Pro 400 SC fungicide from Bayer makes all the difference. With three effective active ingredients for overlapping control of foliar and head diseases, and a flexible application window for head scab, it's formulated to lower DON, protect yield potential, and promote superior grain quality. Prosaro Pro. The future of plant health starts here. Visit ProsaroPro.com to learn more. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
From grain and livestock market analysis to policy updates affecting agriculture, the latest agricultural weather, ag news headlines, and much more, we have you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. Get up-to-the-minute information with the American Ag Network on air, online, and on demand. Find us on your favorite social media platforms and follow the American Ag Today podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey, hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.